Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm your host, Frank LaRosa, along with my partner, Scott Marsh. Scott, another week, another chance to talk about golf and talk to some fun people.
Absolutely. The best hour of the week is here, Frank.
Ken Morton, Jr., Director of Retail at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex, is going to talk to us about all the myriad thoughts and ideas and suggestions about what to buy that significant other for Christmas if they're a golfer. And, you know, I want to make sure he gets some ideas for you to give me other than the exploding golf balls that you've given me for the last 4 years.
Well, he better come up with something because that was my idea, Frank.
Also, Joe Moulton, who's the PGA Director of Golf at Cameron Park Country Club, which is a really fun track up Highway 50, is going to come with us and talk a little bit about the golf course, about his career, and why the game of golf is in such a good place.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him. This is a course I haven't played, and I really have heard great things about Cameron Park Country Club.
All that and more coming up on this edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sacktown Sports 1140.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. Scott Marsh is here, and Ken Morton, Jr., the Director of Retail for the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex, is always here. Kenny, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. This time of year, it's always exciting to... you know, we start thinking about gift giving and maybe some people that we owe some things to and maybe some people that we don't want to buy gifts for. But the great thing about that is up and down the line, you have something for everyone. When you think about the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, which is, you know, second to none around the country. I mean, you know, we take for granted that that the Hagen Oaks Super Shop is here, but we are really fortunate that that you are here. Around the country, we see very, very little of this kind of a retail operation. So congratulations on what you do and continued success.
Well, thank you very much. We liken it to a big toy store for adults.
Well, and what we want to talk about is those toys. You know, as we start thinking about gifts and you know, when I start talking about gifts for Scott, I want to talk about the inexpensive things. But when we talk about gifts for me, you give him all the expensive stuff. Okay, so we'll see how that works out.
Only Zexio. I got it.
You know, with 15,000 square feet and I don't know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 SKUs. I don't know. You've got, as I mentioned, something for everybody. But I suppose the easiest way to kind of attack this and kind of go through your shop is maybe to talk about some of the different categories. I want to talk about gift ideas because that's always fun. You always come up with new things. But let's save that for last. But let's start at the bottom. Let's start with shoes. What's new this year, and what can people expect when they come into the shoe store?
So, you know, there's kind of two big stories in shoes that we've been having, and one's an old one, and that's FootJoy. FootJoy still is the number one shoe in golf, as it has for the last 40 years. Their DryJoy shoe has kind of been the staple of golf forever and a day, and continues to be. So they have some very premier classic looking shoes. So if your guy is kind of a conservative kind of, you know, loves the traditions of the game, that's certainly a place that you can go to and feel confident in a selection. What has been really exciting and we've been selling lots of is the new Boost collection of shoes from Adidas. They have a new outsole on the sole of the shoe that looks kind of like it's made from the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. It's big and it's oversized and it looks kind of crazy. They are so comfortable. It's like walking on clouds. And they have kind of turned the golf shoe business on its ear a little bit. My kids are all play high school sports, and that Boost technology is across all different sporting platforms that they're playing. And it's very noticeable, but in specific to golf, it's done really, really well.
When you say Boost technology, what does that actually mean in a golf shoe?
So that's that outer sole. That's the marshmallow part that I told you about. So imagine if you took a sole of a shoe, and remember the old Reebok shoes where there was actually the pump that you were able to pump
right,
up
yeah.
and it actually constricted it. Well, imagine on the bottom of the shoe, if you was doing that same thing, it actually comes out from underneath the upper of the shoe. So the whole heel counter that goes in behind the shoe is looks like it's inflated out past the edge of the shoe, and so it literally looks like you're walking on clouds, and it feels that same way when you actually put your foot in them as well.
That's really cool. I have to take a look at that. You mentioned FootJoy. Just as an aside, I read yesterday that that Tiger apparently has been wearing a lot of FootJoy shoes lately. Apparently it fits his foot that he had the issue with, and Nike is scrambling to try and find a shoe that they can put him in for when he plays this weekend.
Yeah, that's been off and on. It's specific to Nike. They're making a big change in golf. They're actually going to be distributed starting January 1st through Dunlop Sports, which is the company that does all of Cleveland Strixon and Zexio product. And so they've signed a strategic partner agreement with them, and how we get Nike products going to be drastically different going forward. So be kind of interesting to see how that plays a role with them across the golf industry.
All right, we have the base with the shoes, and I hope you're taking notes, Scott.
I am taking copious notes here because
right.
I've got a lot of people I have to shop for, most notably you, but I got to wait till we get to the high end here.
Let's talk about apparel, Kenny. You know, there's obviously new products out that, have different kinds of fibers and protect us from the wind and the cold, and they're lighter than they used to be. And if you haven't shopped for apparel in the golf world in a while, you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Well, I'll give you a couple new ones, a couple new names. And the first would be a new ladies brand. And you guys will both recognize this, but not necessarily in the golf space. So this summer, we opened up an account with Spanx, and they have a new Spanx golf apparel line. And it has been very, very well received by the women. Their bottoms have built in kind of tummy tucker type of approach, as you would imagine a brand like that with that heritage is built. But it's and as great as their bottoms are, it's actually been the fashion tops, the outerwear pieces, the polos, the quarter zips, all of that has been it's got a fairly unique design to it. And very traditional colors of kind of black, whites, and navies with a little bit of red in it. But it's been very, very popular with our ladies. So I say that with a slight bit of trepidation, because if you're providing the love of your life, Spanx, without previous conversation, that could get you in trouble. It is very, very cool, however. on the men's side, the Murray brothers, of which there are many, most notably with Bill Murray, the actor, have a brand that they have all collectively put together called William Murray Golf. And it's been out a few seasons now, but really has kind of taken life this last year. And their polos and their whimsical designs are really kind of what sets them apart in the marketplace. Each one of the polos that are prints actually play off a movie that Bill has been in over the course of his career.
Oh, wow.
And so There's you know, gophers on some of them, and there's like there was a Ghostbuster with a little ghost on the tail end of a shirt, and in some cases they're really hard, they're really subtle and hard to tell, but each one has a really cool story that ties back into a film, and I think that's so fascinating and so creative, and so those have all been doing very, very well.
Speaking of creative, on polos, you've got your own brand that you've worked very diligently over the past few years to develop. You talk about Whimsical Designs, the Backspin brand that Scott knows so well. It's pretty exciting for you and the folks at well, actually around the country, because your Backspin brand has developed quite a following around the country.
Yeah, if you would have ever told me I'd be designing shirts, I would have told you had lost your mind. But here we are we're about 8 seasons in now. And this particular season was a fun one. Our big shirt that we had was the F-bomb shirt. And it was little bombs with the letter F all over it. We sold all 24 we brought in about 3 weeks. So there's that kind of golfer out in Sacramento. We'll just leave it at that.
Let's talk a little bit about the new materials in the clothing this year. It all of the clothing seems to be, and it's not just this year, the past couple of years, I guess, it's much lighter, much more stretch, and very efficient in terms of you know, the preserving body heat and keeping you dry as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, the way fabric is spun changed about 4 to 5 years ago. And before, if you wanted a feeling shirt, you had to have some cotton still in it that gave it a softness, that gave it a good hand. But now they're able to treat a synthetic fiber that it's really difficult to really tell the difference. In the synthetic fiber, you can add things like UV treatment and spandex to it to give it a lot more different performance characteristics to it. And so there are still some people out there that are, you know, diehard, you know, cotton shirts, but they're much fewer and far between. I don't think we'll ever go back to a traditional cotton shirt. It's going to be, and only be because there's lots of that technology that's much harder to do in a natural fiber that you can't do in a synthetic fiber. So on those synthetic fibers, the amount of stretch that we can get in a pant and in a top, it can go a size up or a size down based on just the stretch in the fabric. And this time post Thanksgiving, that's helpful sometimes.
I want to talk a little bit about balls and equipment, but Scott, what's on your list this year? What do you want to know about?
Boy, there's so many things. And, you know, first of all, the great thing about, you know, I love shopping in person still. And I think, you know, when you can go to the Hagen Oaks Super Shop like this, it just gives you so many great ideas and things that you can buy that you can't really experience online. And then you have a great online too, Kenny, that people can go to. But I love walking into a story and getting some ideas. And, you know, some of the things I'm interested in, and I know we'll touch on it, but just like, you know, when you're going to the Christmas party and you've got to bring something for the elephant gift or like stocking stuffers or things like that, those are things that always really capture my imagination this time of year. Wonder if you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm very blessed that I have two amazing buyers, Heather and Tammy, that work for us. And they make a trip back to the Atlanta America's Mart gift show every year. And that show is about 7.5 million square feet of showroom space.
Yeah.
And the show runs for about 11 days. We're there for about 4 of them, and we see about 40% of the show. And every showroom has about a dozen different vendors in it. And each one of those vendors has hundreds of different items. And when we're searching out golf stuff, it's kind of like a needle in a haystack at that show. But they're so good at what they do, and they bring back all kinds of that really fun stuff. And that's really why our store has that, is because we take the effort to do a handful of those kind of shows each year. So like, you know, just golf ornaments is a great example. Mm-hmm. We've got about 3 to 4 dozen different golf ornaments from a dozen different manufacturers that when you're going to a party like that and you're looking for a, you know, a $10 or $15, $20 gift, we've got all kinds of fun ones. And some of them you can name drop on them, and they're made in, you know, from metal to glass to we even the old time Hallmark ones, we even have a handful of those in there as well. There's golf nutcrackers, there's Santa statues of golfers hitting balls and all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah, they do such an amazing job at bringing back a lot of that themed golf stuff from those shows.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you know, on your shirt line too, the thing that's so great is you can do those for, you know, companies like you did for us with Bonneville here, you know, so many groups that are looking for, you know, company polo shirts and special designs and things like that. That's another great thing that you guys do, you know, that you've created there, Ken.
Yeah, we just, an example is we, William Land Golf Course turns 100 years old this next May. And we actually designed a special print that is has the Capitol Dome in it and some golf motifs in it and the Tower Bridge and a whole bunch of these cool Sacramento iconic images in it, and created a print. And so as part of our 100th anniversary, we're going to actually be gifting some of these shirts out as tee prizes as we get there. And we were able to make a shirt specific for them. And have done lots of that for different businesses in the area. If you can think it up, we can actually create a shirt for it.
Well, we love our Sactown sports shirts for sure.
We're talking with Ken Morton Jr., Director of Retail at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Kenny, there's so many more things that we want to talk about. As I mentioned, equipment and balls, and then we're going to get into specifically some of those gifty ideas. But let's take a little break here. And let's come right back after these messages. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports, 1140.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports, 1140. Ken Morton Jr., Director of Retail from the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex, is our guest at this moment. Kenny, we're going to talk about or continue to talk about the gift giving this time of year that drives us all nuts. You know, for the folks that have a golfer that they're not familiar with the game, you know, whether it's you know, a son, a father, a significant other, what are they supposed to do? How do they decide what it is they're going to buy in the world of golf that they know nothing about? What do you suggest?
A lot of times it's making a list. I know in our own family, our kids create a Google Doc that we all have access to and throw different items on there. The reality is that there's lots of items that golfers always need, and it's all the disposable. It's the golf balls, the golf gloves. That's, you know, that's pretty universal. And even if you've got a decent stock in your bag, it's something that you're going to be put into use at some point in time. The more personalized things like equipment and that kind of stuff, a lot of times it's, you know, you're better off maybe doing a gift card or if you don't have that specific information. There's other things that aren't equipment, like golf lessons and golf fittings, that are great, you know, that we have there at Hagen and any other golf facility around the area as well. And you know, the gift of getting better is a really nice one as well. And there's lots of PGA golf professionals in the area that would be happy to do a gift card and provide some instruction following the holiday.
Yeah. And I'd say right along those lines, like range cards would be huge also, because I know that so many people would appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And just, you know, give an opportunity to go out and practice and get better. That's, you know, NGF, the National Golf Federation, said that the number one reason people golf is over shot euphoria. And I thought that's such a cool term. But it's, you know, the more that they feel that shot euphoria, the more they feel that good shot, the more they're going to want to play golf. And so just providing opportunity to do more of that is a great gift.
I'm still looking for that shot euphoria, and maybe that's where I need that getting better thing, which I didn't realize we could do. So let's talk a little bit about equipment. You know, we're kind of late in the season for equipment because the new equipment will be coming out relatively soon. What do you see on the horizon, and what do you suggest for people that, you know, maybe you're looking to you know, splurge for a new driver for that significant other?
Well, there's a good news and a bad news. The good news is that a lot of the 2023 product has actually recently come down. TaylorMade, Callaway, the Cobra, they've all reduced the wood pricing that was earlier in the year. And so rather than spend $500 and $600 on drivers, we're spending, you know, around $300 to $400 on drivers. And the fairway woods came down equally. The bad news, if you're buying a brand new driver, is that there are some new ones just around the corner. So I have been had the privilege of seeing what's coming right around the bend from every single major manufacturer we do business with late January, early February. And there is lots of really good product coming. It's incremental. There's nothing earth shattering coming, but again, those manufacturers spend an enormous amount of money with engineers trying to do the best they can to make their product better than before. And they've done it again for 2024.
You talk about good product. Pretty much every major manufacturer puts out equipment that's really, really good. And it comes down to, you know, do I want to play this one because I like the way it looks, because I like when I'm on the TrackMan, you know, it shows me that it's the best club for me. Do I play it because, you know, my favorite player plays it? There's all those reasons that go into trying to decide which manufacturer to go with. But I guess the good news is that it's hard to make a bad decision at this point.
Yeah, there is lots of really good product out there. And what's interesting is, you know, the vendors have all been chasing club head speed and ball speed specifically coming off the face. And because of USGA regulations, we're the amount that they're able to gain incrementally with each new introduction is becoming smaller. They're figuring out ways to do it, but it's not the leaps and bounds that we maybe saw 5 and 10 years ago. And so a lot of them have turned their attention to trying to maximize the moment of inertia on the drivers, in the MOI. And what that means is that if when you hit it off the heel or toe, are you getting the same ball speed as if you hit it square in the face? And two major manufacturers, I'm not privileged to say who, but have set a new record of MOI, wow, being over 10,000 MOI points on the drivers that are coming out next year. And you can pretty much hit them anywhere across the face, and you're going to go, it's going to go the same distance. It's pretty wild.
That is really amazing. You mentioned golf balls. It's easy to come in and buy golf balls off the shelf, but I'm not sure that people understand that it's somewhat easy to get them personalized. You know, whether it's with a logo or initials or a word or two. Talk about that process.
Yeah. So any of the golf balls that we do business with can be personalized, and the minimum's just a dozen. You can usually do a name or a slogan, or, you know, if you're busting somebody's chops, as long as it's not offensive, you can you do a lot of that. We do actually do a lot of those. And that makes a fun gag gift. I will tell you, in golf balls, what has been the kind of big story this year has been visual technology on all the golf balls. We've traditionally had white and then yellow and orange golf balls. Over the last couple, 3 years, all of the vendors have really put through a lot of effort in making lines, and with Callaway, with their TrueVis technology and their TrueTac technology, alignment aids, TaylorMade with their stripe ball, Strixon with their two-tone putting aid golf balls, all of these designed to not only play better out on the golf course, because in some cases you can actually see it better than a traditional plain golf ball, but it helps you align your putt when you're putting. And some of them are fantastic practice aids into themselves. And so, I mean, just in the Chrome Soft family of Callaway golf balls, they have four different visual technologies that are available in addition to just the plain golf ball. And so it's really kind of a fascinating evolution. TaylorMade, 40% of their golf balls they're selling have visual tech on them now. And wow. I think we're going to see more and more and more of that as that goes by.
Are we at a point where, you know, people are somewhat reticent to try the ball with that stuff on it because I'm used to a traditional white ball, or are they accepting the technology?
I think part of that is generational. I think, you know, if it's decorative just to be decorative, I think there's a reluctance. But, you know, when you're seeing players out there, you know, like a Ricky Fowler had, you know, TaylorMade design a specific picks all over designed golf ball for him as a putting enhancement. And you're seeing that starting to be used out on tour. And, you know, traditionally we've all, you know, we've written lines or put dots on golf balls to help with alignment. And now they're coming that way. And there's some real benefits to actually having that tech on there. And I think that when that's explained, that kind of breaks down those barriers.
You know, you think about all of the wealth of gift ideas that are available. Scott and was talking about some of the gifty ideas, but even just, you know, when you think about gloves and towels and caps and you've got wine from with players' names on it and so on and so forth. It's it as Scott mentioned, you like to go in and shop, and I suppose, Scott, when you walk in and, you know, you see a bottle of wine with somebody's name on it, or you see a glove that has a certain, you know, distinctive look to it, a person pops into your head.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the magic of giving a gift is making it personal, right? So, and I, you know, we do the Google Docs too, Kenny, and that's wonderful. And, you know, my mom, she'll say, just tell me what you want and I'll order it for you. And I'm like, that really isn't the concept of Christmas, but that is for her. And that's great too. But for me, like, I want to go in your shop. I want to walk around. I want to think about everything. And, you know, like, I need to know where the exploding golf balls are for Frank this year. So I'm going to look for those, and, you know, all the things that to me is the magic of Christmas. That makes the season fun for me, is being able to find that unique gift that nobody else is going to get for someone.
Well, I think that's, you know, for us, you know, going to the buying shows that we do, the thrill of the search is kind of what makes it fun. Yeah. And it's a little bit like being out on the golf course where you stand up on that first tee and you're not quite sure what that day is going to bring you. Right. And going into, you know, hopefully with the Super Shop is a similar experience where each time you come in, there's something uniquely different and a new story to be told as you walk through the store.
Absolutely.
So what are you getting the giggles about this year? What is the, you know, the couple of new gifts, the ideas that you came up with that you go, people are going to love these?
Well, unfortunately, one of them is a carryover that we've had. And Frank, you have seen this one before, but the butt putt continues to be the standout accessory out on the floor, much to my dismay. So, and for those that are out there that don't know what a butt putt is, you know, the electronic ball retrievers that we have had, they've been around forever and a day, where in an office, you put it into this little container and it pops it back out to you so you can putt it again. Well, this one is shaped like a little booty, and as you putt into the butt, it pops it back out and makes a flatulent sound, and everyone that gets it thinks it's the funniest thing that they've ever seen.
You know, this was a highbrow show about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know better. And you know better that I'm 52 going on 13, and I think it's hilarious. So that's fine too. So
what are the new gifts that you know, that might rival the butt putt?
So we've got actually quite a few different ones of them, and some much more serious than that. We've got lots of barware, golf coasters, beer cards. We have a whole collection of golf puzzles. We have a collection from these beautiful metal art pieces that allow you to put and chill wine in, but they're in the shape of people golfing and golf carts and a foursome golfing. And so again, when you're having a holiday party in there and people are bringing wine, it allows you kind of to display the wine that they're bringing over in this beautiful piece of golf art. Probably my favorite piece that we have, and we found it back in Atlanta, is some birdhouses. And the birdhouses are shaped like little pro shops. But the coolest one they have is this giant oversized Augusta National Clubhouse birdhouse. And it's very expensive. It's very pricey, and it's a monster. It can fit, I think, an entire family of swallows in it, but it is beautiful, and it looks just like their clubhouse. It's so cool.
Do they know about that?
Probably not. I don't know. So,
you know, when you talk, my mind is wandering through the shop, and I think about the collectibles and posters and historical pieces and certainly the apparel and I don't know, you know, it's got to be, you know, as a shopper, we walk in and think, oh, okay, they have everything here, but the notion of finding everything and getting it in there and keeping it up there, you know, again, hats off to what you do. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, we've had fun, and one of the more fun things that we've done recently, Heather, our buyer, and I are kind of resident thrifters, and so we've created a little antique vintage department in the store as well. And so again, me going on 13 years old, we have a huge collectible of old comic books from the 50s and 60s and 70s, all that are golf related. And so for kids that, you know, that don't know who Woody Woodpecker is or Richie Rich is, we've got multiple different issues of comic books that are there. And again, it's a $5-6 item, and makes for a really fun stocking stuffer. But with that, we've got tons of vintage golf books, and I've got some old records that Arnold Palmer did instruction on, and Gary Player, and the old vintage whiskey holders that you would get back in the day if you played in the any of the pro-ams, like the Sahara International or the Bing Crosby. One of your tea gifts was this beautiful glass collectible decanter, and so we've got a huge array of different one of those back from the 70s and 80s, and again, hopefully finding something that you've never seen before or haven't seen in, you know, 30, 40, 50 years.
Well, my hope, you know, not only in letting our listeners know what you had to offer this year and help them with their Christmas shopping, but you've figured it out for me. That Richie Rich comic book for Scott, I think is
fantastic. Is
right on.
Excellent. And save the exploding golf balls for me, Ken. I'll be over there to pick them up later on today. But we should not forget, Ken, as great as it is to get into the store, of course, you can find everything online too for people who just can't get there or aren't in the area.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got free shipping for anything over $100. So we try to make it as easy as we can. And again, anybody out there's listening that's concerned about maybe getting something for a family member, our return policy is if it's new, we're really easy with returns afterwards. So they can always exchange it for what they really wanted after Christmas.
Well, I don't know, Scott. As I mentioned, I've got mine figured out. You seem to have yours figured out. So hopefully our listeners have gotten some ideas as well.
They couldn't help but get some great ideas from Ken here.
Kenny, it's always a pleasure, and especially this time of year to have you on. We appreciate you taking some time and appreciate you going through the effort to get all these things in the shop for us to take a look at.
Sounds good. Thanks. Wonderful holiday to everybody out there listening.
Thank you to you as well. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, and we'll be back with Joe Moulton, PGA, right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Scott Marsh and I are standing by welcoming Mr. Joe Moulton. Joe Moulton is a PGA Director of Golf at Cameron Park Country Club. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Absolutely. You know, I was trying to remember the last time I'd played Cameron Park Country Club, and it was your prior GM was there, so it has to be 6, 7, 8 years ago, and that's a long time in the life of a golf course. I'm certain, like most, you know, you've had ups and downs, weather related and things like that, but right now it seems to be all the golf courses in Northern California looking pretty sharp.
Yeah, no, we're in a really good shape, and we've done a lot of good renovation work the last couple of years. Last year, we did our entire outside patio and did a big barbecue outdoor kitchen area, and then this year we completely redid our tennis courts and did a $500,000 bunker renovation. Did some drainage work there and some new sand, so it's looking really good out here.
I'll bet, and those are all amenities that certainly members really get excited about. Joe, let's talk a little bit about you before we get into the club. How'd you get into the golf business? Was that something you wanted to do, or was it happenstance?
You know, it's I always kind of wanted to do it. And I was, before I got in the golf business, I was in the casino business, and I kind of took a downturn in 2007, 2008. I was working in the small card rooms, and we lost a couple of the casinos, and I just wanted to go a different direction. I was always a big golfer. When I was working for the casino, I was playing amateur golf and did fairly well in amateur golf, and just figured I wanted to do it for a career. So kind of launched into it after that, and it took me about 3 or 4 years to get my PGA, and I've been a PGA member for, I think, since 2013 now.
That's really exciting. Where were you before Cameron Park, or was this?
I was at Morgan Creek. I started at Ansel Hoffman as my first assistant job, and then I shortly after got the job at Morgan Creek. Kind of crazy enough, I was at Morgan Creek, came to Cameron Park as the assistant, left about 3 years into it, and went back to Morgan Creek as a general manager of the three golf courses that he owned, and then they asked me to come back to Cameron and as the head professional, and then now director of golf. So I've been at Morgan Creek and Cameron Park kind of my whole golf professional career.
That's great, and yeah. Certainly at Cameron Park, you replaced a bit of a legend there with Ed Hester. He's been there a long time.
Yeah. Before he was there. He was here 11 years. I replaced him about coming up on 4 years now. But yeah, he retired about 4 years ago.
Yeah. So you said you had a pretty good amateur career. Who taught you to play the game, or were you self-taught? Or
Pretty self-taught. My dad helped me when I was younger. I did take one lesson when I was younger from Sean Kelly, and that kind of kicked me off, and then I just just kind of went with it. I read a lot of magazines, looked at a lot of pictures, kind of did a lot of emulation type stuff as a kid, and just worked hard at it, had a pretty decent amateur career and an okay professional career so far.
Yeah. Golf professionals that are teachers might be a little concerned about the way you got there. But what's interesting is that we all learn different ways. You know, some of us are capable of picking up things and going on and having a good career, and others, we just don't know what we're doing wrong. And certainly we need someone to help. And I'm guessing that as a self-taught professional, you do a lot of teaching yourself.
I do. I actually don't do as much as I used to. I have a lot more admin work nowadays, but my head professional does a lot of teaching here. I was doing, you know, 4 to 5 lessons a week. But now I'm down to probably like a couple a week. Yeah. And it's just more admin stuff going on here than lessons for me. But I enjoy both parts. I don't mind doing either.
Cameron Park Country Club is obviously located in Cameron Park, up Highway 50. It's not right there on the road. You kind of have to find your way to it. So you, in some cases you're kind of a quiet golf club in that, you know, of the country clubs in town, you know, yours just kind of sits there in the background and does its own thing and keeps the members happy. And how long has Cameron Park been there, and how's the membership at this point?
We were built in 1963. Arnold Palmer actually had a lot to do with the opening of it. He had an academy up here across the road, and he was here the day it opened. And in fact, I have the picture on my wall up here. It's of Bert Stamps, who designed the golf course, and he's shaking hands with Arnold Palmer, and Winnie's standing right next to him. It's kind of a cool picture. But yeah, that was back in 1963, and we're doing really well now. Just like everybody, COVID kind of was a boom for the golf business. And I think we had 320-ish or 310 members before COVID. We're now over 400 and close to full.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I've found is that there are a lot of people that certainly that had thought about maybe joining a club that are becoming members, but there's an awful lot of people that are taking up the game for the first time. And that's, I think, kind of the exciting part that what COVID has done for the game. It's awakened a whole lot of other people to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Being at a country club, you know, your lessons are generally with people that have been playing golf. And I actually have had quite a few with people that are learning to play golf, wives and kids that are learning to play golf, kind of all spurred from that COVID time. So
a listener wants to know about how to play Cameron Park. They're standing on the first tee. What can they expect for their 18 holes?
You know, it's not a long golf course, stretched out all the way back. We're close to 6,700 yards. So not a long course, but very tree lined old style. A lot of golf clubs were built in that area, kind of the same kind of feel like a Sierra View, you know, an El Macero, just an old tree line type country club. But again, our superintendent does a really good job here. It's always in very good shape. And it's a great place. It's very challenging. It's got Redan greens. And even though it's not long, it could be very challenging, hard to break par here.
Yeah, as I remember standing on the first tee, I don't think it's as narrow as in my mind I thought it was. But you can get off to a really good start, or you can hit it in the trees and have a day that you're, you know, kind of grumbling about. But what I really loved about the golf course is the elevation changes. It's not a flat parkland golf course. There's some views. There's some challenge in the elevation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, there is.
Scott, I don't know that I ever asked you. Have you ever played Cameron Park?
I have never played this course. I need to get up there and give it a shot, Joe. I'm definitely very curious about what everything you have to say, especially the part where you said it's hard to break par, as if that was like a realistic thing for any of us who are coming out to play Cameron Park. That caught my attention first and foremost. But
yeah, I know you can have a long day out here if you hit it in the trees, for sure.
Yeah, now you're out at Morgan Creek. Dan Condi out there had the misfortune of giving me some lessons a while back. Were you out there at the same time as him?
I was not out there at the same time. He came a little after me, maybe right toward the end of my time at Morgan Creek, but I knew him very well. He actually was at a golf course, Cherry Island, where I grew up playing, you know, before I got in the golf business. And so I've known Dan for quite a while.
Yeah. Now, obviously, a lot of people in our general listening audience here are very familiar with Serrano, and you guys are kind of close in that area. How far in proximity are you to, say, Serrano?
We're only two exits up the freeway, so I'd say as the crow flies, maybe 2 miles, two to 3 miles tops.
Yeah, that's what I figured it would be. So obviously, there's a lot of good golf up in that area.
Yeah, no, it's it's tough because you know, we only have two private courses and one public course. We have Empire Ranch down the road too, but you know, Empire Ranch has, you know, it's a jam packed house out there, so a lot of people like to kind of escape to the country clubs up here. Yeah.
And I'm fascinated too, because you kind of are self-taught. I mean, you've had some lessons along the way. Obviously, you're a very good player, but what do you recommend for somebody out there who is in that mode of trying to find his own swing versus lessons? How do you break down when you should go with your own feel versus it's time to break down and get some lessons from somebody?
You know, everybody's different. And it also depends on what you want out of golf, right? Some people don't want lessons. They don't mind that they're not that great. They just go out there for the social aspect. But if you're trying to get better, obviously it's great to, you know, consult your PGA golf professional at your local course. But yeah, everybody's got a different expectation and a different view on golf. So it's really kind of up to the individual person.
I think that's one of the most exciting things that's happening in golf, though, Joe. It seems to me 10 years ago that, you know, there was a lot of, I'm just not good enough for this game, or, you know, those guys are so much better. Now it seems, you know, people are just comfortable going out and enjoying the game. And I just think that's a refreshing aspect for what the game is becoming.
Yeah, no, my perspective on golf has changed a lot over the years. I used to be very competitive and play a lot of golf tournaments, especially when I first got in the PGA. And I really haven't played much except for some team events here and there over the years. I kind of stopped about 5, 6 years ago. Just wasn't what I wanted out of golf anymore. You know, I like going out and hanging out with my buddies and having some fun, and I really don't. Doesn't really matter what I shoot, which changed a lot for me over the years. Because again, I used to be very competitive and didn't want to go out to have fun at all. I was out there to try and win a golf tournament. But I mean, even though that was fun, it's just not the same perspective I have on golf anymore.
And that's the tough part to describe to anybody new that hasn't been out on a golf course or doesn't have a close friend that plays the relationships and people ask me all the time, what's the best course I played? And I don't know that I know the best course. I know the fun I had with whoever I was with, and those are the things that I remember, not so much the score.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. It's really kind of what it's become for me as a golf professional. You know, it's not about what I shoot anymore. It's just about who I'm with and having a good time out there, enjoying the golf course.
Yeah.
Joe, having said that, what's the best round? What's your best score ever?
I've shot 62 probably 3 or 4 times. I always say my best round of golf ever, I shot 65 at Spyglass in a golf tournament, which was probably my best round of golf just because of the difficulty of the golf course. But yeah, no, it's
That explains why you have the Phil Mickelson portrait behind you, because you almost broke his course record there, it seems.
Actually, when I shot 65, the course record was 64 by Luke Donald, and I think he shortly after shot 62 or 63 at
Wow.
Spyglass, shortly after that. So,
What is your favorite golf course?
you know what? That's a hard
Other than
question.
Cameron Park.
I've played some really good ones. Spyglass is right up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played Cypress a couple times, and that's obviously up there. But that's really more the exclusivity and being very famous. But I'd say that golf course, actual competition golf course, I love Spyglass a lot.
Yeah. Perfect blend of Oceanside and inland course as well. You have it all when you play there.
Yes, Monterey is my favorite place to play golf. The weather and the golf courses are just amazing.
When you talk about golf in Northern California, I think we tend to get spoiled because it's all in our backyard. But people in Michigan or Kansas or Tennessee,
Yes.
to know about our courses in Northern California. And it's not just the Monterey Peninsula. I mean, it's all up and down Northern California. We have some
All
great
right.
to
So,
offer.
yeah, San Francisco has, really, really good golf courses. In fact, I was there yesterday playing a Cal Club, which is a really nice place. And then you have all the really good ones right there, kind of the Mecca square there of Olympic Club and San Francisco Golf Club and Lake Merced and Harding Park, and they're all within like a mile of a couple miles of each other. It's a pretty cool place. But yeah,
That's it.
Northern California is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that surrounding Lake Merced, that's pretty impressive right there. Joe, if people want to know
Yes, it is.
about Cameron Park or maybe ask about membership, how do they find out where they get in more information?
Right now, our general manager would be the person to talk to, and he's here usually 9 to 5-ish or so. But they just can call the golf course, and we can get them hooked up with the right people and right information.
Okay. And what's his name?
His name is Dan Griffin.
All right. I don't know, Scott, when you think about all the golf courses that are available, as we just sort of pointed out in Northern California, each has their own personality. And Cameron Park, as Joe has mentioned earlier, certainly has its own personality with the elevation and the 1963 design and incredible conditioning. So we'll have to put that on our list.
I've got it on my list of courses I've got to get to, no doubt.
All right.
Yeah, you guys got to get up here and play. You'd enjoy it.
Joe, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I appreciate having you on the show. I'll hope to bump into you at one of the NCPGA events and we can talk about what we didn't talk about. How's that?
You got it. All right, Frank, Scott, thanks for having me.
Scott, that wraps up another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour. It seemed to go quicker and quicker every week.
It just always goes too fast, Frank. But the good news is we'll be back next week.
That's thanks so much to Ken Morton, Director of Retail at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex, and Joe Moulton, PGA Director of Golf at Cameron Park Country Club. For my partner, Scott Marsh, this is Frank LaRosa. Welcome back next week, because we'll be here and we hope you'll be here too.